And as we've been hearing throughout the programme, there's a lot of hope about our gradual reopening from Monday. HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid says we're at the most hopeful moment since January. And Paul Reid joins us now. And thank you for joining us, Mr. Reid. You say you're more hopeful than any time since January. A third of the population has one dose. The vaccine supply is more stable now, but there are going to be problems with the Johnson supply next week, aren't there?
Good morning, Anya, and I must say it was a great pleasure to listen to the clips and vox pops which you're playing this morning from people excited about opening their business or excited about seeing their families next week. And I don't plan to kill that excitement this morning at all, because you are correct. We've been working 7 days a week at this literally since January 2020, and I've certainly never felt a stronger moment of hope and optimism than we do feel now. And it is grounded not just on optimism, it is grounded based on evidence, what we're seeing of reduce hospitalizations, reduce ICU admissions, reduce mortality, and all directly correlated to the vaccination programme for those who've been vaccinated. And for once, we seem to have broken this strong correlation between daily cases and hospitalizations and mortality. So that's really important for us. Just before I mention Johnson & Johnson, just say the obvious caution that we all really want to see this home now, while we have over 1 in 3 people vaccinated now, first dose today, and 1 in 8 with their second dose. You know, we still have a lot of the programme to get through with over 60% of the adult population. So we want to see it home. We don't want to slip back in the gains we've had.
So Johnson's 60,000 less next week than you'd hoped for. Is that right? That's the one dose shot.
Yeah, well, we're looking at the quarter in its entirety. I would, you know, we're still early days in terms of Johnson. We're down about 40,000 for the month, what they're saying to us. So was a delivery of approximately 140,000 to just about 100,000. But they are still hopefully expecting to make that up. It is related to an FDA issue in the States with a plant. But ultimately, we are seeing really stronger supplies across the board for the month of May. If you take just yesterday alone, over 46,000, our highest day of completions of vaccinations across the country. We're now, on a regular basis, beginning to hit over 40,000 on a day. So we're at a really good point of momentum, which I think gives the public great confidence and certainly reinforces many of the great hope that you've seen, you've heard this morning.
Do you reckon you'll have 1 million more vaccinated by the end of May from the start of the month?
Yeah, if you look at the momentum that we're on right now, it's certainly, 46,000 yesterday. This week alone, by the end of this week, we'll somewhere between 220,000 and 240,000. Next week, somewhere between 250,000 and 270,000. So we are at that momentous point of seeing the vaccinations getting to the supply levels that we have been forecasting. But more importantly, getting them vaccinated really on an efficient basis and out into people administered in our vaccination centres now. 35 centres open, 37 next week. So we're really at this, and fantastic performance by our GPs and GP clinics overall. So we're really at the point of very strong momentum to give the public confidence.
Is the revised vaccination plan going to be signed off today? That's, of course, the issue, isn't it? Again, to do with the Johnson, the availability of that to the under 50s. You want more flexibility.
Yeah, in summary terms, we've put together a revised plan, well commented on it's version 27, based on the change we've had to make. There's three key principles to it. Firstly, that we're strongly recommending we continue to the government policy, which is continuing down in a progressive way down through the ages, because that's where the highest risk is. Secondly, that we continue to administer at pace each week in a safe manner, each week, all vaccines that we have available to us, and not holding certain vaccine types for later. And secondly, maximising all the uses of the available that we have throughout the quarter. What that does mean for us as we look through the ages and the vaccine types available now is we can continue, and the momentum continues this week. But our plan submitted does also want to use the pharmacy sector. And what we don't want to have a situation is where we would have a large supply of Janssen, for example, towards the end of the quarter, and not being in a position to administer those to, say you could have people over 50 waiting. And we don't want to have that happen where we're administering to much younger age groups before we're completing older age groups.
So when do you expect to get the answer on that? Today?
We've submitted a plan during the week. There is an ongoing dialogue between ourselves and the department, up to including yesterday, and we are awaiting a response on that. But we expect it shortly, because just to reassure your listeners, nothing stops. Okay. Our plan continues for this week and next week.
From today, people aged 56 can register for a vaccine. What's the level of take-up and delivery in the over 60s been? Has it been what you hoped? As a percentage of the of that age group in the population, I mean.
Yeah, very strong take-up. We're very encouraged by it, equally encouraged by people registering online. There is a support line of people not in a position to register directly online. Take-up has been very strong overall. This morning, or certainly as of last night, over 450,000, 452,000 registered on the online portal. We are seeing, yesterday alone, 34,000 registered on it. We are progressing through the 60 to 69 age groups, and you had a clip of George Lee just giving you the statistics there this morning. We're progressing very strongly through that, but we are highly encouraged by the take-up. What I would say to people as we are progressing through the ages, if you are in the ages 60, 69, today it's open to 56s, please come forward and still register. And we are seeing about 2,500 people a day still registering from the older age groups, if you like, as we're progressing down through the ages. So people are still coming forward, still registering, we're still administering, and appointments are being made.
Pregnant women, they'll be offered a jab from next week, is that right? Which vaccine?
Yeah, we're just finalising and working through the recommendations from NIAC in relation to pregnant women. So what it will most likely mean, the process that we're working through, if like the pathway, will be that the women through the maternity hospitals and their consultants would be referred forward for the vaccine type, and that would be then administered through the vaccination centres, and that's a process that's ongoing. We're just finalising all of the detail as that is part of, but it will be communications out to women early next week, right, in terms of where they should go and where they will be referred to for the vaccine administration, and that's just being finalised.
There seems to be a bit of miscommunication, though, doesn't there, around the issue of partners for scans and births being allowed into the country's 19 maternity units. You've asked the units to allow the partners in, but it seems some hospitals aren't doing that, and they're within their rights to say, no, you can't make them.
No, and I think it's important to clarify this, because we are anxious. We do believe that the whole situation has improved in terms of the risk levels for what we're dealing with the virus, what we're dealing with transmission levels, but particularly what we're dealing with in terms of vaccinations rolling out. But there are still risks out there, and I just want to be very clear on that. There are still risks, and we do have to strongly encourage hospitals to take the right precautions to prevent risks of transmission and healthcare associated infections in our hospitals. But particularly in relation to visits, the restrictions are particularly related to partners for the 20-week scan, for being there at the birth and labour, and for neonatal intensive care visits for parents. We do believe the conditions are right now to reduce those restrictions. What we have asked the 19 maternity hospitals is, where they see a particular risk right now, to please notify us of that. So we do expect in general the restrictions to be listed, and where there's a particular risk for us to be notified of it. So on an exceptional basis, we expect that to happen.
Antigen tests are going on sale in Lidl from today. Isn't that a supermarket filling a need that the Department of Health won't back?
No, I think, look, antigen tests have a role to play and have consistently been our view that they have a role to play. First thing to say is that there is nothing of a higher quality standard than PCR testing. It's well proven across the world. It's well proven in real life experiences. PCR is definitely the strongest. Antigen testing have a role to play. If you just take antigen testing alone, we know that they have a higher level of accuracy if tested amongst symptomatic people, and if tested by people who are experienced in using carrying out tests. We know then, if you track it down from that, they have a lower level of accuracy if not symptomatic, and particularly if not tested by somebody who's experienced of it. So, you know, if you're testing on yourself and you're symptomatic, a lesser level of accuracy than someone who's experienced. If you're not symptomatic and test on yourself, a much lower level of accuracy. So what we would be saying, along with antigen testing, is if you are symptomatic, please do seek a GP referral. Indeed, go to one of our walk-in, or don't go to one of our walk-in clinics. Seek a GP referral for a PCR test if you're symptomatic. If you have got a positive antigen test, still seek a referral from a GP for your PCR test. So they have a role to play, but certainly PCR testing is the gold standard.
But there's a is there a sense that, you know, to some extent there's a holding of the nose on this, that, you know, the antigen tests may not be the gold standard, but the expert group recommended their use more widely in businesses and colleges and in agriculture as part of the toolkit.
Yeah, and, you know, to be frank, there is obvious different views amongst the clinical world in this, and I think that's been made fairly clear. We certainly take our advice, and we'll have to continuously take our advice from our own clinical teams, etc. on it. But, you know, I do believe they have a role to play. We in the HSE are going to facilitate that they have a role to play in certain sectors, and we will encourage them to be utilised in certain sectors. But I just think it's important we know the position that they fit in when the wider overall testing and tracing strategy that we're well resourced for and proven well, great, capable experience of and doing.
And two final questions for you, Paul Reid. The level of health service staff now vaccinated, are you now in a position to insist that staff dealing with patients are vaccinated, or that they otherwise move into away from patient-facing roles?
Yeah, well, look, the first thing I want to say on that is the take-up that we've seen by healthcare staff in going forward for vaccination has been remarkably strong. You know, and if you compare it against what we would have seen for flu vaccines, it's just in multiples of that. So it's very encouraging what we've seen. I have said, and I've been on the record, that I would expect people, with the exception of the rare exceptional circumstances where it may not be possible, for people working in frontline healthcare roles to take the vaccine. Because it creates a risk if somebody doesn't. What we are asking our healthcare system to do, we want to continue to roll out first, but we will be asking our healthcare system where they see any risks on a local basis where people haven't, healthcare workers in the front line haven't been vaccinated. They need to address that risk, and if it's not appropriate, a person would expose that risk to others, which needs to be addressed. But I think in the first instance, I want to give great credit to the take-up that we have seen.
And finally, your reaction to the research from the US, the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, that COVID-19 has caused more than 7,000 deaths in Ireland. That's about 2,000 more than the official figure so far. Do you think that's accurate?
Well, I think what's been experienced throughout, if you take all the way back through COVID right to last year, our Ireland, in terms of our measurement, has been quite conservative in terms of what we capture and what we count in relation to deaths and mortality related to COVID. And, you know, I've no doubt there'll be a correlation done between that recent research and previous research and our own figures, and our public health teams will do that. But I think we've been noted internationally to taking the right approach in terms of our count, whether it's positive cases or mortality associated with COVID. But I'm sure that correlation will be done shortly again too.
All right. Thanks for your time this morning. That's HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid.